peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning into Abounding Grace today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and this week we are going back to the book of Genesis, and really looking at the death of Jacob, the great patriarch Jacob. And I want to set this in contrast with many of the events and many of the recent deaths, the big name deaths that have happened in the United States, and contrast that and look at the death of one who truly dies in the Lord, dies in faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that outlined here in Genesis chapter 49. This is what we read in Genesis 49 regarding the death of Jacob. And I want us to reflect upon this in detail this week. Then he charged them, he's charging his sons, and said to them, "I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place." And this is what we read in verse 33. This is Genesis 49, verse 33. "And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people." In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read that there is a time for everything under the sun. Very well-known passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2. "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die." This is a very important verse because really what I just read was the end of the road for the life of Jacob. He dies in Genesis chapter 49, and all of the experiences, all the feelings, all the sorrows that accompany death are almost felt as we read this. It is the reality, my friends, that at some point in this life, we are all going to die. We're going to face it. Our loved ones are going to face it. I know that's hard to think about. It's not anything we like to think about. Generally today, there are three kinds of ways that people handle death and approach death. There's the death-defying approach. "I will overcome." Then there's, of course, the death-accepting approach, where ironically it's welcomed. So the great Socrates, they say, welcomed his death. But then there's the worst kind of approach to death. It's the death-denying approach. "I'm going to act as if it's not a reality." When a society moves to deny the reality of death, it does everything in its power to avoid it, speaking of it, even thinking of its reality. And you've heard me say on Abounding Grace before, it sounds cold today to say that so-and-so has died, if we use that word death or died. And so we've adopted the phraseology of the Christian Scientist Mary Baker Eddy, that so-and-so has passed away or passed on or been translated, as if they have sort of skipped the whole reality of death, passed right over it. Now, in a very successful, at least American setting, we really have adopted a mix of being a death-denying and a death-defying culture. We're going to do all we can to fight against it and stand up against it. Together, we will prevail. And, well, if we do not, we're going to go down fighting. Strange combination. We can't get away from the fact that in these past weeks that even the world's most powerful, quote, icons died. I'm amazed to see at how the world has responded to the death of Michael Jackson. I don't say just the U.S., I say the world. He was treated as if he was like a god. We are told in news story after news story, there was a talent from on high passing to his rest. One story that was rather covered up because of Michael Jackson's death was the death of Farrah Fawcett. She, of course, in the 70s, was the epitome of beauty in the United States, every woman sort of emulating her style. A few years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer, and so she began treatments, and the doctors announced that she was cancer-free. She had fought and won. Well, a few months later, it was announced that she had colorectal cancer. And so she began to fly all over the world looking for treatments, and she was constantly crying out for more research on cancer. You know, why is our health care system so afraid of using other countries' means of treatments? And these sort of discussions went on. Well, toward the end, she wanted her struggle of being bedridden with cancer filmed in a documentary. Her reasoning was this: I want people to find a larger purpose in my suffering. And so what was her purpose? Well, it was to give people this message, and I quote, "Don't give up. No matter what they say to you, keep fighting." Now, this is a pretty predominant theme today. We hear this a lot. So-and-so is a real fighter. They keep fighting. Patrick Swayze said on that interview with Barbara Walters, "You watch what I pull off. I could say that to you." This is the underlining message through all of this, that through man's great quest to beat cancer and overcome, they will fight and they will prevail. You know, I saw an ad the other day for a woman with breast cancer, and the ad title was, "I am, I will." She had boxing gloves on. "I'm strong, I will fight." Fight for what? Fight for what? Fight, well, if you were to answer that, it's the fight to overcome death. That's the only answer to that question. What are we fighting for? It's the fight to beat death. That's what people are saying. And we really sort of have never left the mentality of Eve in the garden. Remember what the devil tempted Eve with. "In the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be as God," or "like God," or "your own God." It's the attitude of, we will prevail. But my friends, and I say this clear on Abounding Grace today, you're still, all of you, including me, you're going to die. You cannot cure death. Only one has overcome death, and we'll get to that this week. But it took this week before us some of the world's greatest. It was all appointed by God. That's what the Bible teaches. Our time, when, how, the boundaries of even where you're living, all of it is appointed by God, and it's appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. That's the reality. We may not like to talk about reality, but it doesn't matter much. That is the reality. And here today, we get at the crucial difference between those who are going to fight to hold on to this life with all they have, who are doing all they can, contrasted with those who have learned to live by faith in the promise. It goes hand in hand with what Jesus said: whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. The fight to hold on to this life is the very thing contrary to the life of faith. And we come to the point here where the rubber really meets the road. All of us at some point will either be in the position of Jacob, who is before us in Genesis 49, who dies in faith, as Hebrews says, or other people whom we've seen who fought with all their might to overcome death because they would not let go of this life. Notice that difference in what we're studying this week, my friends, that the Christian is a pilgrim. There is a whole perspective that we're left with in looking at the death of the saints and the death of those who've believed and trusted in Christ. There's a whole different approach to death. And that's what we see in the events that surround Jacob's death this week. How did he look at death? How did he prepare for death? And what did this mean for his family, his sons? Let's look at this week, asking the question if we are living as pilgrims by faith in the promises of God. Well, here's this final deathbed scene. Just like all his fathers, he has come to the hour of his death. The time has come for Israel to die. Our time's boundaries, where we live, is appointed by God, and here he is at the end of his life, and he can barely sit himself up on the bed to bless his sons. In fact, in Genesis chapter 48, we read that he had become sick. we read that Joseph was told, indeed, your father Jacob is sick. He's the only one we read of in Genesis that became sick. He didn't live as long as Abraham or Isaac. And so what you have here is one of the patriarchs who is prematurely, at least from our perspective, had some form of sickness, maybe it was cancer, and his time was expiring. Now, what we have here, and we're not going to get into this today, we'll come back to this tomorrow. There are a few things that demonstrate a whole different perspective regarding death. It's something that Jacob says that strikes me initially in the pronouncing of blessings in chapter 48 upon his sons. He's blessing Dan, and all of a sudden, the most out of place thing happens. He breaks out in a one-verse prayer. Listen to Genesis 48, verse 17. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path, that bites horse's heel so that its rider shall fall backward. Now here it is. I have waited for your salvation, Lord. Where did that come from? The man is sick. He's blessing his sons, and all of a sudden he breaks out in a prayer. I've waited for your salvation, O Lord. It's a beautiful cry, but what makes the cry so powerful is that it was not a cry of deliverance from his temporary sickness. It was far greater. His eyes were fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He had believed all the promises made that he would be given an eternal land, that his body would raise anew, and that he would be given all these promises that the Lord Jesus Christ would in time merit for him. And he believed. And this cry had given birth out of a long struggle of trying to live by sight. But now he had understood that he was called to live by faith in the promises of the gospel. That's what we're going to see this week. Do you, my friends, have you believed in Jesus and rested in these same promises? Are you waiting for the salvation of your Lord?
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.